We are supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow everything. We're supposed to grow ourselves, our talents. We're supposed to grow who we are into who we want to be. And part of that is financial, which is the piece that people have such a hard time with.
Welcome to the Get Real Podcast, your high octane boost of full-on reality therapy for personal, business, and investing success with your host, Ron Phillips, because somebody's got to tell it like it is.
Hello, welcome back to the Get Real Podcast. Ron Phillips and Heather Marchant here.
Yes.
I'm not sure why I do that pause every time, but I do. I just now noticed that I do that pause every time.
I never know what to do with the pause, but I always am like, hey, hey.
I'm going to stop doing it now for you out there, because you're probably like, why the hell does he do that? I don't know why. Hey, we got a great show. We're going to give you an update on the Corporate Transparency Act. After that, we're going to talk about a headspace issue that a lot of people have. Heather and I were talking about it the other day. We decided it would be a good podcast. So strap in, and who knows what's going to happen today.
I know. It's live. One thing that's funny is we start recording because we're having a conversation about something and going bantering back and forth on our opinions about it. And then we oftentimes stop and say, what are we doing? We have to then rehash this, and it's not as easy to do. It feels a little more forced if you just had a conversation that you're trying to restate. So
that's what you're going to get today. So first up, Corporate Transparency Act. This came across, I don't know, just a few days ago for me.
Yeah, 2 days ago, it said.
It wasn't very long ago. I don't remember when we did the show, Heather, but we did a show on this, and I got angry, might be the right word, about this one. I called it unconstitutional at the time. It is unconstitutional, but the Corporate Transparency Act was found unconstitutional by a District of Alabama judge. So I'm not an attorney, so I don't know that that means that this thing is kaput for right now. They will most undoubtedly, they will appeal this thing. But I love the opening paragraph of this. Mm-hmm. It says, the late Justice Antonin Scalia once remarked that federal judges should have a rubber stamp that says stupid, but constitutional. There are so many stupid laws by our lawmakers.
Yeah.
That actually should be the case. The Constitution, in other words, does not allow judges to strike down a law merely because it is foolish, burdensome, or offensive. Yet, the inverse is also true. The wisdom of a policy is no guarantee of its constitutionality. Indeed, even in the pursuit of sensible and praiseworthy ends, which I don't think this is.
Sensible.
Congress sometimes enacts smart laws that violate the Constitution. This was neither praiseworthy, sensible, or smart, and it's unconstitutional. Hmm. This case, which concerns the constitutionality of the Corporate Transparency Act, illustrates that principle. Love that paragraph, except for those unfortunate choice of words where he called.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was calling this law smart, but this is not smart. This is absurd.
You can see how they arrived at the idea. I don't even know if that makes it like sensible or, you know, but you can see where they were going with it. But beyond that, it seems like it just such an overreach and not necessary.
Yeah, this is like 17 pages of a multiple thousand page bill. Clearly not thought out. I mean, it just wasn't. I just talked to an attorney who his business is forming LLCs. You know, like, you know how many attorneys form LLCs for people? Well, this ridiculous act, neither smart nor sensible, requires them, in addition to the owner of the LLC, to report.
Yeah.
So he has had to spend money on extra staff. They do thousands of entities a year, right?
I can't even believe that. Yeah.
I mean, he's like, Ron, you don't even understand. Like, it's crippled my business. So was that what they were trying to accomplish? Mm. Cripple people's businesses?
I hope not.
I don't know what they were trying to accomplish. We had this conversation last time on the show. I watch my share of true crime dramas. I err on the side of watching ones about drug kingpins and traffickers and really bad people. I don't know why I like those, but I do. Anyway, I've just been watching one called Cocaine Cowboys about these Jokers in Miami. Great show, by the way. It's a documentary. And they didn't use LLCs to hide their money. So I don't know what in the world good this is. Like, this is kind of like if you ban guns that bad people won't shoot people. It belies any kind of logic.
Yeah.
Criminals don't obey the laws. So when you put some law like this into effect, it only hurts good people. Criminals will, by definition, not care. All this does is make good people criminals. So I am grateful for the Alabama District Court and the judge, and I hope they lose on appeal. A part of me hopes they win on appeal, and then they appeal it to the Supreme Court, and they get smacked down. There's a few things that need smacked down. This is one of them. This is a ridiculous bill.
Agreed.
Would you like some good news?
Yes, absolutely. Always.
Well, this hasn't quite happened yet, but the bonus depreciation has passed one side of the House. And I'm not sure if it was the Senate or the House. I'm not sure exactly which side, but it has passed one of them. And not my sources. I have no sources in the United States government. But sources say that it is likely to pass the other House. So light some candles, people, because that would actually be
amazing.
Good law. Right there. Good law.
Mm-hmm. And like help investors, like just pause for a minute, but help investors want to be able to buy rental properties to give housing to people who need it. Like it incentivizes that. So helps our economy.
Yeah. I mean, just helps everybody. Businesses help people in multiple different ways. So when you help business, you help people. Period. End of story.
Yes.
So Heather, introduce our second topic. Because I gave you some bad news, I gave you some good news. Now we're going to lay into the real topic today.
Yeah. So I think catching up on the news is super helpful. But I think this is something that, man, it's been sticking with me for several days. From the book, 10X is Easier Than 2X. It's Dan Sullivan who wrote it with Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Man, Dan Sullivan, first of all, I was super impressed, as I would say read, but it's on Audible for me. So as I re-listened to the book, noticed that he had a goal to write one book every quarter for the next like 7 years or something crazy. And Ron, you're writing a book. I mean, that's a pretty big undertaking. And he recognizes that. And he didn't really want to spend a lot more time. And so he found who's, he calls it in the book, people that can help him do that and bring that forward. So I thought that was pretty cool. And this is one of those books that he worked on with someone else. So a quote that I just wanted to share from the book that kind of starts into this topic is, being 2X means you're stuck in a finite game, a situation, perspective, objective, identity, etc. You're not expanding your freedom to be, do, and have. You're caught up in fear and paralysis. You're maintaining the status quo of who you are, who you now are, and what you are now doing. It's Mindset Chapter 3 that really caught my attention, where he talks about wanting versus needing. That when we talk to clients, we set goals and we talk about how much cash flow do you want? Right? And most clients will turn it into a need. Like, well, I mean, if I didn't have a mortgage on my house anymore because I plan to pay off my house, then I would need about this. Right? And just being bold in saying that you want something and it has to do with money. He said that when he teaches this concept, this is Dan Sullivan, when Dan Sullivan teaches this concept to his people he's mentoring, many of them get very upset. He said in seminars, they've gotten up and walked out, just very angry about needing versus wanting and feeling greedy, I think. I think it's pretty interesting.
I think a lot of people who make substantial amounts of money, at some point, they grapple with this a little bit. How much is enough? And yeah, I want something. Well, why do you want it? Well, because I want it.
Yeah.
I don't have as much problem with this as maybe some other people do, but there's a couple of things here. If you're looking for a way to, man, justify is not the right word because I don't think this is a negative thing. And justification means that you're justifying something negative. So this is the wrong word. Heather can probably help me out with the right word. If you're looking for a reason to grow and progress, and I find most of the time that people who have an issue with this are in some way religious people, spiritually, whatever you put your word of choice in there. But for the people who are religious who believe in the Bible, I haven't read some of the other books, but I have read the Bible, and there's a pretty clear parable in there that suggests that God wants us to grow. It's called the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the parable, Heather is. I can tell she just started smiling and was like, oh, yeah,
No, I thought of the exact same thing as I was listening to the book. That's all. Go ahead.
It's such a good parable. So what he says is there's three servants. They're all given talents. Talents were money from back in the day. I think one was given one was given five, and one was given 10. My memory serves correct.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And then he said he gave him these money. And then sometime later, they're supposed to report how things had gone. And so the one with 10 came back and he had doubled it. And now he had 20. And the one with five came back and he had doubled his and he had 10. And the one with one came back and he said, "This is so precious, such a great gift from you. I hid it away and I still have it." And he said something like, "Get out of here. I don't know you anymore."
Yes. I think he called him a slothful servant.
And he was. The whole point of this is we are supposed to grow. Now, I think, you know, gospel according to Ron, or opinion of Ron, whatever you want to say, I am of the opinion that we're supposed to grow everything. We're supposed to grow ourselves, our talents, not talents like money from back in the old days, but actual talents. We're supposed to grow who we are into who we want to be. And part of that is financial, which is the piece that people have such a hard time with. And I find that remarkable since they're almost always grappling with this in a religious sense. I mean, you couldn't get any more literal example of what is expected. Mm-hmm. Now, what you do with the money is up to you, right? I believe that we are stewards of the money that we have. I think we should be wise stewards. I don't think we should just waste money to waste money. But I don't think we were put here to not enjoy our lives. So to what extent you want to enjoy your life, that's your business.
I agree. I think it's the mindset shift. I mean, that quote I read, it's the ability to break through what I know now and what I think I'm capable of now, right? Versus being stuck there, caught in fear and paralysis, that quote said. That's a quote from 10X is easier than 2X, by the way. And having the whole chapter devoted to get out of your head of what you think you need versus saying you want it because you want it. Like you said, Ron, just because. I want to do it because I want to do it. And not having to justify. I think justify is the right word. Not having to justify the reason why.
Yeah. I mean, I have things that are things. They don't do anything other than make me happy. That's it. Now, they don't provide me like deep joy like my family does or serving other people does, but they do make me happy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I do think that we're supposed to grow all of these things also to help other people. I am way happier when I'm able to use my talents, my money, the things with which I've been blessed to bless the lives of other people. But I don't think that that's the only thing that I'm supposed to be doing. I think it's okay to buy, own, invest in things just because you want to.
Yeah.
Erring on the side of making sure you do enough for other people as well.
I agree. And I think one thing I posted on LinkedIn this last week, I haven't posted on LinkedIn very much, and talked about the idea that it is possible in business and in what we do in real estate, particularly, that everyone can win and have success in every transaction. And in real estate, especially, we've talked about this before, it's unpopular first, and a bit of a mindset shift to understand that you can be successful and so can the seller in selling their property. And it doesn't mean you're getting ripped off. I think that's something that, man, it's frustrating in traditional real estate transactions when I'm involved in those, that you're just trying to figure out how you can negotiate just a little bit more, get a little bit more, and have the seller get a little bit less. So it's interesting to me.
Case in point, I was in Memphis looking at one of our properties, just doing a site visit, and we increased the rent, and we've talked about this before too. There are people who are just like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, because we spent almost $1 million making the property better for the people who live there. And so we have to increase the rent. But here's the thing that I think other people don't realize. They hear that and they're like, well, man, like now you made it so it's unaffordable. Did we? Because we just went down to some local employers and we talked to some of the people who are live close or don't live close to that property. They're commuting. And we said, hey, we have this really nice apartment over there. And they're like, yeah, I'm familiar with that, but I didn't think it was that nice. Like, yeah, well, we just spent $1 million making it nice. And their eyes, they lit up a little bit. They're like, oh, wow, really? I'm like, yeah, you should go check it out. And they were like, well, how much is the rent? We told them how much the rent was. They're paying more rent than that. And they're commuting.
Wow.
Right. So again, a win-win. Some people would say, yeah, but the poor people who were living there, you raised the rent on them. Like, well, yeah, we did. However, I mean, we had to spend the money to bring the thing up to where it needed to be, number one. And there's nowhere else around there that looks like that property did. That's why those people were like, yeah, I don't really want to live there. Well, we put $1 million into it, so maybe you should go check it out now because it doesn't look like a piece of crap anymore. And it helps all of the people who are living there currently and all of the people like the people we talked to who want a nicer place closer to their job and they didn't realize one existed because, well, until we bought the property, one didn't exist because it was kind of crappy. So again, win-win for everybody.
Yeah. So interesting. I think that having a business where everybody wins in every transaction is so rewarding. And I think that it's possible in other fields, not just real estate. And I think that wanting what you want and having that mindset of abundance too makes that more possible in business in general, but in real estate too, that there's enough. There's enough properties, there's enough tenants that you're not having to fight and feel like you have to rip somebody else off.
Here's the flip side of this, right? If you choose to not grow, and let's just stick with money because that's where people usually get hung up. If you decide you don't want to grow, then not only are you capped, but you're capped on the amount of people that you can help. And when the opportunity arises where you could actually help someone, you have to sit and you have to think of whether or not you have the capability to do it because you stopped growing. I don't want to be in that position. I much prefer the, you need help? Yes, happy to help. If, you know, if I agree with the help, of course. I like to be in a position where I can help or where I can just give. Now, we don't have to just stick with money, but it's the easiest one because most people have a real hang up with it. Well, how much is enough? Well, I guess it really depends on what you're going to do with the money. And I like to be in a position where I can buy what I want and where I can help when I want. And I don't have to think about whether or not I have the money to be able to do that. And that changes dramatically when you stop growing. Because like you said earlier in your quote, what was the quote?
I'll read it quickly again. Being 2X means you're stuck in the finite game, a situation, perspective, objective, identity, etc. You're not expanding your freedom to be, do, and have. You're caught up in the fear and paralysis. You're maintaining the status quo of who you are now and what you are now doing.
And the only thing I disagree with in that comment is that you can maintain who you are now. I truly believe that you are either going backwards or you are going forward, period. I don't think there's any standing still.
Yeah, I think it's you're living below your potential. Like if you're living below your potential and having not progressing, then you're right. You're living below it. So you have to be moving backwards. You just can't stay in the same spot.
Yeah. So Darren Hardy's book, The Compound Effect, is what I'm referring to. And in that book, he basically says it like it is always working. It's either working against you or it's working for you.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I'm talking about. You can think you're standing still. You can think you're maintaining, but you are not maintaining because the compound effect is constantly working. And if you think you're standing still, that means it's working against you. You have to be actively moving forward. So moving forward in your spiritual life, moving forward with your health, moving forward with your family, with your relationships, moving forward with your business, moving forward with everything.
And I think we all need someone in our life that can have us push past those limiting mindset things of staying where you are because you're doing well. And I have an example I thought of, Ron, while we've been chatting today, is when I first made significant money in the real estate world, and I was super pumped. Like I was on cloud nine, and I wish I could remember what year it was, but I remember you talking to me and saying, so are you doubling that next year? And thinking, what in the world? Like, I am so happy with what just happened and my improvement. And having that perspective, I remember shifting, and it took me a couple of days to think, well, I don't really need that, right? But I'm like, yeah, I want that. I remember shifting from that need to want. And it was really fun feeling. And it made me feel alive and excited, and versus just maintaining, right? Instead of saying, wow, I arrived at where I wanted to be. I accomplished my goal. I'm just going to ride this wave. I'm going to ride it out. Really interesting.
There's always going to be people out there who will hate on people for that particular attitude. And that's okay. Those people will be stuck in fear and paralysis, just like the book said. They just will.
It's living. It's exciting.
So that's a choice. You just get to make the choice. You're either going to be an abundance-minded person and you're going to grow or in every aspect that you want, or you're not. Mm-hmm. It's entirely up to you. I would encourage you to give this some thought, especially if you are a person who struggles with it and struggles with the what's enough. We all have the choice to do with our financial gain what we want. Mm-hmm. Nothing says that you can't help more people. Nothing says that if that's what makes you the most happy and that's all you want to do, well, you're going to be super limited on that if you don't figure out a way to produce more revenue, more money.
Yeah.
So you get to figure out what it is that you want to do. My hope for everybody is that we all get to do what we want to do, and that a part of that want should be giving to others and helping others.
100%.
Sometimes the best gift is the how-to rather than a handout.
Yeah. I will add that if this conversation made you feel frustrated or brought up some, I don't know, emotion, feelings, then take a look at it. I mean, those feelings of having us having a conversation about being more and doing more and growing, and it makes you feel frustrated, because that's what they talked about in the book, of people just being really angry about this. Yeah, just take a look at that in your life and maybe getting rid of some limiting beliefs that prevent you from further success, not just financial success.
And it's kind of sad because some people who have financial success hide their financial success because they don't want to deal with people who are angry about it.
Yeah.
And that's sad. I don't think I'm ever going to understand that. I've talked about this on the show before, but when my friends come into large amounts of money, I don't even care how, I mean, other than it's illegal. Well, I mean, my friends don't do things that are illegal. But if you've built a business, if you've sold a business, if you've invested wisely, and you come into a big, huge pile of money, I could not be more thrilled for you.
Yeah.
And I'm never, ever going to understand the undercurrent of people who are just angry at people who succeed. I'm never going to understand it. I don't know what good it does. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it makes that person feel better about themselves, about life, about anything. It is a defeatist attitude, and it doesn't do anyone any good, and most especially the person who holds that feeling.
Yes.
And I would challenge anyone listening, if you feel that way, think about it this week. As you feel that way, what good does that possibly do in your life? Mm-hmm. I doubt you'll find a way. And as you think about people, because everybody knows people like that, as you think about those people, doesn't do them any good either. Everyone I can think of in my life who would be upset or in some way jealous or some other form of negative thought about someone else succeeding, I've never seen it work.
Yeah.
I've never seen it help them. It doesn't help. It doesn't help.
That's true. And if you find a way that it does and you want to have a conversation, email us, invest@rpcinvest.com.
I would love to know the way.
I know, right?
I've almost been on the earth 50 years. I've never seen it have a positive impact on a soul. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one.
Same.
In addition, I would also say those are the same people who think they know what other people do with their money, and they have absolutely no idea.
That is true. That is true. They make assumptions.
I can tell you from firsthand experience, some of the wealthiest people that I know are some of the most kind-hearted, generous people I have ever met. Not all, but a huge majority. And yeah, they have nice things, but they give so much to other people. So I encourage you, as if you struggle with that, think about it for sure.
Yeah.
And if you don't struggle with it, well, keep on growing.
Yeah.
Keep on growing. And until next time, get out there and make something happen.
This has been the Get Real Podcast. To subscribe and for more information, including a list of all episodes, go to getrealestatesuccess.com.